Tonight we are going to be talking about spiritual physics. This might be your first time hearing it, or you might have heard this idea of spiritual physics in the past because it is a staple here at Men's Discipleship Network. But if you're anything like me, whenever we start going through this concept of spiritual physics, I start getting a little nervous. And when I'm sitting in your seat, my palms get a little bit clammy, my knees start to shake a little bit because I'm waiting for Pastor Scott to look at me in the eyes and say, "Gary, come on up here and recite spiritual physics." And the last thing I want to do is come up and try to recite something that I'm not very confident in because I don't have the best memory. And so if you're here tonight or watching on Zoom tonight, and like me, school memorization was not your thing, we don't want you to tune out or click off your Zoom. We're gonna make this so simple that by the time we leave here tonight, we all can memorize these eight words, the eight steps, the eight principles in spiritual physics. Sound good? All right, awesome. So this morning I used this ladder as part of an object lesson, and I thought it was funny because at the end of the lesson, when we're going through a time talking with the guys on Zoom in our breakout sessions and before we prayed, one of the guys was focusing on the fact that he thought I was going to fall off the ladder the entire time. So that was kind of funny this morning, but I hope I do not fall off the ladder. But that did remind me of something when he said that today. When I was climbing up this ladder, because I was alone in my church office in Queens on Zoom talking to 30 other guys, when I was climbing up there, because I was by myself, I did not have what you should always have when you're climbing up a ladder, which is someone to hold the ladder for you and someone to spot you. Well, listen, there's a reason God brought that to our attention, because the Lord wants to remind us all as men that when it comes to accomplishing these eight steps, you cannot do it alone. You need someone to spot you. You need someone to partner with you. You need someone to hold the ladder for you as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, well, we're going to dive right in to the spiritual physics, these eight words. And before we do that, there's one slide in particular that I want you to see tonight, or to hear the mannerism that is on that slide. This is what it says: "He who is most free in Christ is he who has set Christ free in him." He who is most free in Christ is he who has set Christ free in him. And so if we are free, why is it that we don't feel free sometimes, even as Christians, even as men who maybe know up here what freedom should look like? Why aren't we truly experiencing it? Often it's because we have not set Christ free within us to help us live out that freedom. And these eight steps are ways that you could allow God to live out his freedom in your life. So the first step, very easy, is the word no, to know. And I should say this, you know, Pastor Scott, my wife is Spanish, and you're always talking about Hebrew and talking about Greek, but I'm going to talk about Spanish for a second, all right, if I can. I don't know if any of you here speak Spanish, or anybody that's on Zoom speaks Spanish, but I took Spanish classes, and I realized pretty quickly in learning Spanish that the word to know, K-N-O-W, actually has two separate words in Spanish. And one of those words in Spanish means to know something, as in to have some intellectual knowledge about that thing. And the other word to know means to know something in a personal, intimate, close way. And so this idea of knowing God as our first step is not just a little bit of a head knowledge, but it's beginning to know God in an intimate way. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "Now this is eternal life." What is eternal life? Listen, "that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus is equating eternal life with knowing God. The second verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now listen, I think knowledge is important, but knowledge without Christ is like garbage, we're reading from Paul. But when you have Christ and you know him, that's the best type of knowledge you can possibly have in your life. And so step number one, to know God. Come on, repeat that after me. To know God. To know God. All right, here we go. You guys on Zoom land, can you see it? To know God, number one. Now, when you get to know somebody and you get to know about them and you spend some time with them, there are some things that you learn from them. And in a natural sense, we learn pretty quickly who we can trust and who we cannot trust. And so the next step after beginning to know God is that through his heart and through his character and through the things you're beginning to see and the understanding you're beginning to have, you start to realize that this may just be a God that you can trust. And I'm so thankful that it's not a blind faith. Some people consider believing in God a blind faith. I'm here to tell you, I do not have a blind faith in God. And God does not expect a blind faith from me either. God has shown himself real to me in so many ways in my life, so many ways through circumstance, so many ways even through nature, that it's not a blind faith. There's evidence of God all around us. And so by knowing him and getting to know him, I've come to a place where I am learning more and more to trust him. And we read in Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And so if you know God, you really know him, you're going to know that you can trust him. And so our step number two tonight is to trust God. Now, if you know God and you begin to trust God, you begin to see God work in your life. And all of a sudden it begins to dawn on you. This is the God of the universe. And yet this God of the universe actually cares about me. He's actually concerned about me. He actually loves you and loves me. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And so the next step after knowing God and beginning to trust God, when you see how God loves you and cares for you, you begin to respond to that love by loving him back. So step number three tonight, love God. Now you know God, you trust God, you love God. And here's one that I think we struggle a lot with, but you cannot separate the two. I'll read the verse for you, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so if you know God and you trust God, you are going to love God. And a big part of loving God is that you're going to want to please him and keep his commandments. You're going to want to obey God. John 14, 21 also says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And this is the fourth step in this eight-step process or this tool that we have here called spiritual physics. Now, this is very important. Guys who are online, this is extremely important. A great way to memorize this is to separate these eight principles into two parts. This would be part one. And this is the first four that we're going to work on right now. To know, if I know God, I'm going to trust God. If I trust God, I'm going to love God. If I love God, I'm going to obey God. Why don't we try saying that together? And if you're on Zoom, if you're in your living room or with a group of guys that are in here tonight with us, you can say it with the group that you're in. Are you ready? Starting from the bottom. Let's do it together. If I know God, I'm going to trust God. If I trust God, I'm going to love God. If I love God, I'm going to obey God. So those are the first four steps. Now, somewhere, and Pastor Scott, you can let me know if you think I'm wrong about this, but salvation probably occurs somewhere in this realm right over here, right? You have to know a little bit about God and his plan for salvation through Jesus Christ for your life. And in order to be saved, there's a degree of trusting him in the word that he has spoken to you, that you've gotten to know him through. And usually in that trust process, before you really love him, because you don't really know how to love him, that's probably that place that we came to, if you came to that place already, where you gave your life to Jesus and you asked him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life and make you a new creation. And through that, God has been helping you to love him and obey him. But there's still a long way to go till we reach the top here tonight. So now we're going to talk about the next section, the next four. If you know him, you're going to trust him. If you trust him, you're going to love him. If you love him, you're going to obey him. And if you obey him, you're going to abide in him. 1 John 3:24 says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And this idea of abiding is the entire reason why Jesus went to the cross. We have to understand that. Jesus is the way, and I heard it said once by Pastor Charles Simpson, who wrote a wonderful book called The Bosom of the Father. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. The whole purpose of Jesus going to the cross was to reunite us back to God, his Father. And it's so important to understand that if you are in Christ Jesus, you have this abiding in God and God abiding in you. Step number five. All right, so now you are abiding in God. God is abiding in you. And according to the verse we're about to read, you are a disciple. John 8:31 says, "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple.'" Now, realize that being a disciple and having God abiding in you and you abiding in him is closely linked to this obedient life because of the love that you have towards God. Now, it doesn't say perfect life, right? Make sure you understand that. We're still going to make some mistakes, right? But the important thing is to understand that we are righteous because Jesus is righteous, and we exchanged our filthy rags for his righteousness. What an awesome trade for us. Amen. And so we are his disciple. And here's some great privileges for a disciple. When you are a disciple, you will have the opportunity not just to hear the truth, but to know the truth. There's a big difference between hearing the truth and knowing the truth. Do you realize that? Big difference between hearing the truth and knowing the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen? And so if you are a disciple, you have that truth. And that truth will make you what? Free. And here's that word free that we're going to put on the very, very top. John chapter 8:32, same verse as the one for truth. then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brother Mike, come spot me here, because I'm not going to walk this Christian life and try to do this all by myself. I need a brother who I think is also trying to do what God wants him to do to help me so that I don't fall off this ladder. Because I pray that guy this morning wasn't a prophet and he didn't see something that was supposed to happen tonight. Come on, brother. Good job, Mike. And this is, in a nutshell, spiritual physics, broken up into two groups of four: to know God, trust God, love God, obey God, and then to obey God, be his disciple, know the truth, and the truth make us free. Now, I want to do something a little bit different than I did earlier. A couple of things. One, this is interesting to me, because whenever you have a ladder, before you get to the very top step, there's a warning label. And the warning label tells you, danger. Do not stand at or above this level. You can lose your balance. Right now in our world today, the enemy has got people so confused about the truth, and it's crept into the church, into the families and hearts of even Christians, and Christian men who God has called to lead our families have been struggling to do so well, because we don't dare step on this step and get to this level. And I'm here to encourage you and to charge you, men, how important it is to grow in your relationship with the Lord and to reach this all the way to the top and make sure you get to this place of truth, because it's this truth that's going to make you what? It's going to make you free. Now, interestingly enough, right? When I'm climbing up and down a ladder, if I am uncertain about the step that I am on, and I try to all of a sudden retreat, even though I had already walked up that step, I start to second guess whether that step below me is even there anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? If you don't continue to go up, you don't just sacrifice what you could get going up, you begin to doubt what God already did for you before. Come on now, someone needs to hear that tonight. Someone needs to hear that tonight. And before you know it, you're second guessing your salvation, your love for God, your trust for God. Do I even know who God is, right? Because you're not moving forward or higher in the things God has for your life. So I just wanted to paint that picture for you tonight. And then the second thing, which I didn't do this morning, I have these cups right here, and these cups have all eight of the words for spiritual physics on them. If I know God, I'm going to trust God. If I trust God, I'm going to love God. If I love God, I'm going to obey God. If I obey God, I'm going to abide in God. I'm going to be his disciple. I'm going to know the truth, and the truth's going to make me free. And you might be at a level in your life right now where God's already started to work in certain areas in your life, and he's poured himself, he's poured his word, He's revealed to you his cross and his blood and what that means and what that's done. He's even given you a body of believers, men, maybe a SEAL team or this MDN group right here. And what's happening? It's beginning to fill this area of your life. So you're starting to maybe know God some in your life. And that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And maybe as a result of knowing him, you're even beginning to trust in him a little bit. And he's beginning to fill you with that trust. And then you're moving on and you're beginning to have this relationship with him where, because he first loved you, you're now loving him some, and you're starting to even obey in areas that you didn't even think it was possible for you to obey God in, right? But what sometimes happens? Trials come your way, sin comes your way, doubt comes your way, fear comes your way, and the enemy, like a sponge, comes and just begins to soak up that area that God has already worked in your life. He already begins to take that like that. And you think, well, I had already accomplished that. But here's what you don't realize. It's not a one-time deal. You need the Holy Spirit to continue to fill you. You need to continue in the brotherhood with other believers. You need to continue to grow in the Word of God. And okay, something now happens, you know, in your family, and you feel like your peace is disrupted, and you're wondering, am I really abiding in Him? Is He really abiding in me? And the enemy comes and tries to take that away. Well, what do you need to do? You need to get back into the presence of God. You need to retrace your steps. You need to realize what He's already done for you in the past and let Him continue to fill you. Now, what's interesting is the latter demonstrates a step-by-step building upon one another. But the truth is, God is working in all these areas in your life at different times. Why? Because the enemy's attacking you in all of these areas in your life at different times. And so it's not like you complete step one and that's it. You're never going to revisit knowing God. Oh, I know enough. Well, that's a big problem. You know, some guys do that, right? Oh, I already know all that. And God's trying to bring you to a deeper level. Sometimes through some of those trials and through some of those tragedies, and God's trying to bring you to a new level in Himself, but you think you've already know Him. You don't need to get in your Word. You don't need to seek counsel from other godly men. You don't need to get in His presence and spend time alone in prayer with Him. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we get ready to wrap this up in just a minute. God has given this tool of spiritual physics to Men's Discipleship Network through Pastor Scott. And it's in the weapons curriculum, and I believe it's even in our more recent curriculum. And the men in our church have learned this, and I know many of you have learned this. And I think it's an important and vital tool to have in your tool belt, where you're able to reflect on where you're at any given stage in your life and what areas you need the Lord to reveal Himself to you in a greater way. And so I want to encourage you tonight as we begin to pray, and those of you that are on Zoom tonight, as you begin to pray and let the Holy Spirit and His presence even begin to fill the room that you're in tonight, what areas have you grown in recently or in your Christian walk? And what areas maybe are you running on empty? What areas do you need the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you? Maybe it's truth. Maybe it's having that freedom. And I love that verse, and it's in, again, all of this curriculum here on spiritual physics. It's from Galatians chapter 5. Listen to what it says. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And there's a big difference between this idea of knowing the verse that I'm supposed to be free and really that word indeed. You know, my five-year-old, he's learning how to write sentences. And I notice at the end of his sentences, he gets this joy out of putting an exclamation mark, even though exclamation marks don't even belong in some of these sentences that he is writing. But once his mom explained to him what an exclamation point meant, he wanted to be excited about every sentence that he was writing. And so he was exclaiming everything, right? And this word indeed is like a triple exclamation mark. That's what this is. It's a triple exclamation mark. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. And the reason why perhaps we don't feel free is because we're struggling in certain areas because the enemy has come and he's taken away some of the things that God has done in our life, and you're running on empty so you don't feel it, but all you really need is a fresh infilling. That's all you really need is a fresh infilling in all of these areas of your life and all of these areas of my life. So tonight, the question for us, which our host will give us, but I'll get you to start thinking about it, is what area have you grown in? But what area do you feel is still an area that you need some filling up in your life? And I'm going to pray with you if I can, even right now, before Pastor Scott comes back up tonight. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned with us. That you, as a heavenly Father, so desire to be with us and us to be with you, that you sent your Son, who was already in your presence intimately, to this world to take the price of our sin so that we could be in that same place that he was in with you, in intimacy. And Lord, if you would do all of that, then there's no way that you're the type of God that's looking to just hit us over the head when we make a mistake. And that picture of you that we have misconstrued in our lives, sometimes because of our own earthly relationships with our own fathers, or maybe how we would respond if we were in your position and someone sinned against us or betrayed us or rejected us, it's caused us to think that you're anything but a loving Father. And God, tonight, we pray that you would reveal your truth to us and that your truth would make us free. We pray, Lord, tonight that you would show us the areas of our life, Lord, that we need to still bring to you to have a fresh infilling. And Lord, that the areas that we have been filled in, God, we'd be thankful for it, but we'd make sure that we're continuing to grow in those areas as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Men's Discipleship Network is touching lives by bringing the hope and freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ to men and their families. We want to thank all of you who are regular supporters of the ministry. Your continued financial and prayer support makes you a valuable partner in our work together. If you are being blessed by the teaching of men's pastor Scott Caesar, but are not yet supporting the ministry, please consider providing your financial support so that he and Men's Discipleship Network can continue its mission of changing families one man at a time. Make a commitment today to partner with MDN by scheduling recurring monthly donations on our website at mensdiscipleshipnetwork.com/donate or by texting the word GIVE to 833-500-4685. Your regular support helps MDN pay for important programs and personnel needed to expand our ministry to men across the United States and around the world. Thank you for standing with us.